at gunpoint.
Wow.
Well, I didn't think I was going to preach today or teach or do anything like that, but you happened to call me on the phone and told me about it, and Stephen threatened me with it before. He said, when I tell him that you're coming, I'm going to tell him that you accepted a call to preach. And but God had already showed me, I think, what he wanted me to preach on, and that being faith. So we're going to start in the pretty logical place to start, Hebrews 11. Hopefully, we get some understanding in this. Hopefully, we see things different than we saw it before, or rather, we are confirmed in the Word of God through what we go through here in the Scriptures. Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In my own mind, I would start off and I would think that that is a pretty good explanation of faith, but in reality, I think it's an even better explanation of what hope is. It's saying that the substance of hope is faith.
Good.
The substance of hope is faith. And then you got to wonder, what is that faith? What is the Bible trying to tell you? What is faith? Why was Jesus Christ faithful? Why are we commanded to have faith? And why did Abraham have faith? And we're going to look at those things. We're going to look at them in depth, and hopefully there's some understanding of it. So let's just start with the word faith. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse 9. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. Starts out with that, the faithful God. And we see right after it, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So we see faithful, and right after it, we see, which keepeth covenant. So there's a pretty good hint at what faithful is talking about. God's considered faithful because he keepeth his covenant. Let's go to 1 Samuel 22. 1 Samuel 22, verse 14. Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, and who is so faithful among all thy servants as David? Why is he faithful? Which is the king's son-in-law and goeth at thy bidding. He goeth at the king's bidding.
Right.
That's why David is faithful. Let's go to Psalm 78. We're just going to go through these verses as a stepping stone. We're going to try to look at them and get an understanding from the Word of God what faith is. Psalm 78, verse 56. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies. What's God say about that? About them provoking him and keeping not his testimonies? But turned back and dealt unfaithfully. Like their fathers, they were turned aside like a deceitful bow. We see again that faithfulness, or rather the unfaithfulness, is to turn aside from God's testimonies. God's given that promise. He's given that direction to man, and they break that. Or God considers something faithful because somebody follows that commandment. They follow that promise, that testimony. Psalm 89. Verse 33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. So he's not going to suffer his faithfulness to fail. Verse 34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. That's why we know the faithfulness will not fail, because he keepeth covenant. Psalm 119, verse 138. There's more verses just like this verse here in Psalm 119. That support this, and throughout the Psalms and throughout the Scriptures that talk about the faithfulness of the testimonies. Psalm 119, verse 138, thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. He gave those testimonies, he gave those commandments, or that law, we hear it, that plumb line, that thing by which man can see and see the straightness, the correctness of it, but they're faithful because God's going to keep them. God will keep them. We're going to see that theme. Proverbs 14, verse 5. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Why is a witness considered faithful? There's no lie in that witness. Why are the testimonies considered faithful? They're not lying. Why was David considered faithful? Because he did the bidding. That's why. He obeyed what he kept that promise, rather. Now, let's look at this in practice. We're going to look at Abraham. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Do a little reading here. Romans chapter 4 starts and says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found?" Good question. "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without work, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only? Or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. God sees the faith, God reckons unto him for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or when he was in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Before he was circumcised, God gave him that reckoned unto him righteousness. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised." What was that faith of Abraham? We're going to look at that here in a bit, but what was that faith of Abraham? Why did God consider that Abraham was faithful? And I believe in Nehemiah 9, verse 8, we'll look at that also. It says that he saw that his heart was faithful. Why? Because God gives him a promise. God gives Abraham a promise, and he stumbled not at the promise of God. We'll pick up where I left off. For the promise that he should be, let's go to verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. God gave that promise to Abraham through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. But the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. So you have faith. And God chose by faith through grace, because he had grace on man. He said, I look upon faith. God looks upon faith as a thing that he likes. Why did God think Jesus Christ was justified? Why did God like Jesus Christ? Because he had faith. That's what the Bible says. It says he looks upon a man that would keep the promise. That's why man is not right before God, because man doesn't keep the testimonies of God. Man doesn't do that. Man regularly disobeys the testimonies of God. You talk to a man on the street, you find anybody, and you ask him about these things. They don't believe God, and that was counted under Abraham for righteousness because he believed God. They don't believe God. They don't believe his testimonies. They don't follow his testimonies, and so God doesn't impute any righteousness to those people. But he saw Jesus Christ, the one who did believe his testimonies. Verse 15, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which are not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And we see in another scripture where it talks about that seed that he spoke to Abraham, that specific seed was referring to Jesus Christ. And Abraham took that promise of that seed, and he believed it. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He could see things before him that were very counterintuitive, but he had the promise of God. He had those testimonies that God had laid out for him, even before the law, it says, about 420 years or so before the law. But he believed that. He had faith. He kept it through. Let's go to Galatians 3. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. How is that blessing that God gave to Abraham? God considers Abraham and he said, I consider that faith. He saw what Abraham had. Abraham was given the promise of the seed being Jesus Christ. God says that. He said, I gave to Abraham Jesus Christ through his own lineage. And Abraham considered that, and God said it was to Abraham, faith. So how are we going to get that? How do we get that? That the blessing of, verse 14 again, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So when God was speaking to Abraham way back when, way before the cross, before even the law, he gave the promise of Jesus Christ to Abraham. That's what he did. He said, and Abraham knew that, and Abraham believed it, and he had faith towards God. That's what it says. Verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 130 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. So the law comes up 430 years later, but what's still the most important thing over top of the law? What came before? The promise that God gave to Abraham through his seed. He said, Jesus Christ is going to come through you. And what did Abraham have in response to that? He was faithful. Like David was faithful, he continued at the bidding of God. He didn't even consider his own body now dead. That's how faithful Abraham was. Verse 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Let's go to Nehemiah 9, verse 8. Go to verse 7. A little context. My dad gets to back up a couple verses. I'll do it. Nehemiah 9, verse 7. Thou art the Lord God who didst choose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gavest him the name of Abraham and foundest his heart faithful before thee and madest a covenant with him. So God sees that Abraham's heart is faithful. What does that mean? Abraham would keep covenant. So God makes covenant with Abraham, with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites to give it. I say to his seed. And what did we see in Galatians? That seed right there in the book of Nehemiah, that seed, that's Jesus Christ. That's what it's speaking of. That's Jesus Christ right there in that verse. And I say to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous. Why did Paul call it Jesus Christ? He said, because he didn't say plural seeds. That's not what he said. God said to Abraham, that's what Paul said in Galatians. He said, it wasn't plural. It wasn't seeds. It was seed, speaking of Christ. Let's go to Habakkuk 2:4. Pretty famous verse. We'll go to the latter part of the verse. It says, but the just shall live by his faith. So there's a thought to be had in that. You can consider this two ways. You can say the just shall live by his faith, as in the just person's faith. Or we can consider what Paul did in the New Testament. He saw a word in the Old Testament. He saw when God spoke to Abraham and he said, seed, rather not seeds. He said, that's Christ. So then we're going to look at this and we're going to maybe consider right now that this faith it's speaking of is not the faith of a man, but the faith of Jesus Christ. So let's look at this in another sense. But the just shall live by his faith. Consider that Paul spent all this time in the Old Testament talking with Jews. Paul didn't have the New Testament to speak with Jews about Jesus Christ. He went to the Old Testament, and it said he did it for long periods of time. He went back and forth with these Jews over the Old Testament to show them Jesus Christ. That's I'm just going to tell you right now, I believe that that's Jesus Christ, and I'll prove that to you. I'll show it to you. But the just shall live by his faith. I'll just ask this question. Why would the just have to live by his faith? Why couldn't they live by their own faith? Uh-huh. It's not enough, because you can't keep covenant. You can't keep promise with God. You can't follow those things. It's just the way it is. People like to think that they can, but it's a lie within their own heart. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. It's a pretty familiar scripture. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Didn't say our faith, by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. God's faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We're brought into that promise because Abraham had faith. We're brought into that seed because Jesus Christ had faith. Let's go to Galatians. Let's rather go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, so let's look at verse 8. Let's break this down. It says, by faith, Abraham. Nehemiah 9, verse 8, it says that God looked upon Abraham's heart and saw that he was faithful in his heart. But what about Sarah? Was Sarah faithful in her heart? No, Sarah was not faithful in her heart. We know that to be true because Sarah doubted immediately. She laughed at it. She literally laughed within her own heart. But I would say that's my testimony. I laughed within my own heart. I would consider the salvation of God and laugh. Man, how could somebody really have faith? How could that really be true? I would sit there in church my whole life and just kind of scoff. How could I have that? I could maybe believe it. Oh, maybe God will give that to Abraham. But me being Sarah, I didn't believe that. So then let's see in verse 11. What's a miracle that God did? What did God do for Sarah? Verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. It was through faith for Sarah. God did a miracle for Sarah. He made it through faith. And was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged the man who promised as faithful. She herself did not have faith, but she judged that man to be faithful. Now, let's go to Galatians 2:16. knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Are you justified by your own faith?
No.
Do you come to, people say, you need to have faith in Jesus Christ. That's true in some kind of way, but it's not a very doctrinal way of saying it. What you need is the faith of Christ. That's what the Bible tells you to have. It doesn't tell you to, what would that mean if you came to God with some kind of faith? I remember the day when I finally was good enough. I was finally so good that I came to God and I just believed His promises and His testimonies. That's not what God calls you to do. God calls you to believe Him. What did Sarah do? She considered the man who had given the promises faithful. That's what Sarah did. And God, through faith, helped Sarah. Let's read the rest of that verse. And not by the works of the law, but by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That would be a work of the law to bring your faith to Christ. That would be shameful. God doesn't want you to bring Him your faith. What are you going to bring to Christ? As a lost person, how are you going to walk to Christ and say, God, I've decided to follow Your testimonies and promises? You'd be the first one. The Bible's pretty conclusive on that. No man does that. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. They've all gone astray. That's what the Bible says. It's pretty clear. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 14. Here's some pretty conclusive verses on it. This is going to look at it from a, is your faith good enough? Let's look at this. Verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Without Christ, your faith is vain. So could you bring something that was worthy to Christ? Could you bring faith that Christ would consider and say, oh my, wow, I'll give Him salvation. I'll give Him an inward man because this person had faith. Nope. Faith is a miracle. Verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. If Christ wasn't raised, you don't have faith. Why could Sarah be justified through faith? The seed. The seed was through her. The seed was through her, and Jesus Christ was to be raised. That's why it was. Let's go to Ephesians 2. I hear this quoted all the time. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Some pretty conclusive evidence here. For by grace are you saved through faith. What's the gracious part here? God being good to us when He could just put us in hell. That's right. The gracious part.
Amen.
That's the gracious part right here. But what did God do? What did He choose? What avenue did He choose by grace? It says this, through faith. And that not of yourselves. Right. It is the gift of God.
Amen.
That's the gift. That's the gift that God gave to Sarah. Abraham sat there and God saw in Nehemiah 9:8 that Abraham's heart was faithful, but Sarah doubted within her own heart. Sarah doubted within her own heart, but God was good to Sarah, and through faith, God gave it to Sarah. Through faith, I had that same testimony, I said that. Through faith, that's the only way you're going to get to God. You're not going to get to God. You are not going to believe God. You're not going to be sincere enough. Sarah was pretty sincere when the angels of the Lord are talking to Abraham, and she still laughed within her own heart. Do you think Sarah was just going to conjure up some kind of goodness within her? Was that going to happen first? Is that going to happen to somebody today? Somebody's just going to conjure up enough sincerity towards God? Oh, I'm so warm to God. No, what does God require of man? God requires belief, because you can't conjure up faith. There's no ability within you to conjure up faith. Oh, I remember the day that I finally put my faith in Jesus. I like that saying. I don't think people say it wrong. I'm not trying to attack that. I'm just saying, if that's a reality, if that's not a colloquial saying and they actually mean that, that's not truth. That's not truth, because there's faith through Christ. That's what it is. It's not your faith. You don't walk to Christ and hand Him faith. We can't do that. It's impossible. Men try it all the time, though. Men boast of their own goodness. That's what it would be to bring your faith to Jesus Christ. It would be to boast of your own goodness. You'd say, I'm so good. Here's my faith, God. I believe in You. Here, you can have this. God's going to reject that. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not of works, lest you should boast. Let's go to Romans 3. Let's have some fun with this. Everybody loves Romans. Paul's so kind and fluffy. Verse 1, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Did Sarah's unbelief make the faith of God without effect? No, I didn't believe. If you're saved in here, you didn't believe before.
Right.
Did that make the faith of God of effect? No. No. God, why was David faithful? Because he did the bidding. Why was Jesus Christ faithful? Because he obeyed unto death. Mm-hmm. He did it. Verse 22, same chapter. Even the righteousness of God, hey, look at it again. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. It's by faith of Jesus Christ. So what does God require of man? Does he require you to have faith? Yes, because you're justified by it. But God, what did he say? What was Jesus Christ first preaching? Repent and believe. That's what he said. Repent and believe. He said, O ye of little faith. He would regularly say that. You work up the word faith through the Gospels, you'll regularly see Jesus Christ say, I've not seen such great faith in Israel. O ye of little faith. Ah, she has more faith. Why? Why would one person have more faith over another person? Because they obeyed the promises of God. They saw the seed and they said, ah. And what did Jesus Christ do with that? He gave them his faith. That's what he did. Verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Ah, we get a better clarifier here. God had faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. He had faith in the blood of the covenant. That's what it was. When he said back to Abraham, thousands of years prior, he said, I'll get through you, will come the seed. That's what it was. It was that blood that God was looking at. That's what it says right here. Through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Why are you just for believing in Jesus? If you believe in a man, are you just? Do you get justification because you believed in some man? Is there some kind of justification that you can get from that? No, you can't get justification for believing in some man. But why do we get justification for believing in Jesus Christ? Because of his faith. Might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Where's boasting in this? Oh man, I remember the day that I put my faith in God. That's boast. Where's boasting in this? Where's boasting in this? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. There was faith in Jesus' blood. God had faith in Jesus' blood. And therefore, we can't boast about this thing. We can't say, oh my goodness, I was so good one day. Nope, it's not the way it works. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Paul's going through this. He's trying to explain it to people. He wants them to get it. And so he goes, he used that Old Testament, but then he just goes in logically, step by step, and explains it. But why can't people still understand? Because they don't see it spiritually. There has to be spiritual understanding. That's why Jesus Christ would get so angry with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He would speak with them and he would become mad at them and he would become wroth with them and speak to them in a harsh way because they would hear these words and they wouldn't spiritually discern. That's why he would say to his own disciples, O ye of little faith. He would look on them and he would say, what's your problem? I've just explained all these things to you and you still don't see it. You still don't believe it. Because they don't see spiritually. They think carnally. And so you have these people. You can say these things to them. You can explain this scripture to them. And then they just kind of scratch their head and they don't really understand it. But it's because they don't think spiritually. They think carnally. We'll say it again, verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith. So what was justified by faith? The circumcision. Now what's through faith? The uncircumcision. And uncircumcision through faith. Thank God that he did it through faith. Because there was no way I was going to bring anything to God. There was no way I was going to bring some heap of whatever I had within me. Filthy rags is what the word of God says. If I was going to bring anything to him, it would have been filthy rags. And those are very terrible and filthy. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Why do we establish the law? Because God was faithful. It said that his testimonies and his commandments are faithful. They're faithful because he kept them. He kept those unto the end. And Jesus Christ fulfilled them. Let's go to 2 Corinthians verse 4, chapter 4 rather. Verse 13, here's the miracle of the scriptures to the unborn again person, to the person without the inward man. This is the miracle to the person that does not have faith. It's stated so plainly. Verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and there, who says that, by the way? Was that just some man that said that? It was Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ, the righteous, that said it. That's where it is. We'll start that verse over again. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Why? Because of faith. That's why we can do that. That's a miracle of the scripture. That's what we want for people. We don't want for people to come some kind of logical explanation of this. I've read this and I've read this verse and I got this kind of understanding. And man, it starts to make sense today. I'm starting to really get this, but that's not what it is. People must have a spiritual understanding. They must have this same spirit of faith. Does that same spirit of faith come at the end of some logical conclusion? If you're dealing with somebody, sir, you're so wicked. Let's say somebody's on the altar right here and you tell them and you say, sir, you're so wicked and you're so awful. And the person goes, I'm so wicked and I'm so awful. And you say, sir, do you believe Jesus Christ is good? And they're like, yes, I believe Jesus Christ. Will you put your faith in him? And they go, yes, I'll put my faith. What faith did they have to put in him? Did they keep the promises of God as Abraham did? No, God didn't look on their heart and say that he saw faith. He looked on Abraham's, in Nehemiah 9:8 says he looked on Abraham's heart and he saw faith. God doesn't see that in us. Matter of fact, the Bible says he doesn't see it. He says it very clearly that he doesn't see it. He sees terribleness. He said our righteousness is counted as filthy rags. That's why we need people to have a spiritual understanding. That's why there's something so wonderful in the scriptures that a lost person doesn't see. A lost person sees the script. You know what Revelation 19 says? Let's look for this verse. Let's go to Revelation 19. Verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew it but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. People read the scriptures. Do they see Jesus Christ? It said that his name is the Word of God. Who's that speaking of? Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. So people read these scriptures. They don't see Jesus. They see the exact opposite. They want to make a logical conclusion. I hear people do it all the time. I'll try to talk to them about something about the scriptures or out of the Bible, and they try to rationalize it. There's no rationalizing the scripture. There's no rationalizing 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith. Do you think that spirit of faith comes at the end of something you've done or some kind of rationalization? No. The Word of God is conclusive about it. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. And what? God had faith in his blood. That's what God had. Let's go to Revelation 19, verse 11. Shouldn't have left there.
Mary picks up her dad.
I assumed as much. No, you're fine. I'll just act offended when she gets back.
Whatever.
Say, ma'am, I didn't know the preaching was that tough. I'll back off next time. Revelation 19, verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Jesus Christ is faithful. He is the Word of God. That's why he's the fulfillment of those commandments, those testimonies. That's why we have faith through Jesus Christ. There's nothing we can bring, nothing we can do about that. Let's go to an important verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 5. It says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith." Did it say examine yourselves whether you have faith? No, it said examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. What's that faith referring to? That's the faith of Jesus Christ. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? So he's the head of all men, but men don't submit to God. I would say that that's of such importance that you have the faith through Jesus Christ and that you believe that, that there's literally no other way to come to him. There's no other way. That sounds like a pretty basic thing to say, but I think it needs to be said. There's no other faith that'll get you any kind of righteousness. First off, you don't get righteousness by the flesh or by works or by anything like that. Why do we have righteousness? By the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way we get righteousness in this walk. You don't get righteousness by showing up to church. You don't get righteousness by doing your homework. You don't get righteousness by obeying your parents. You don't get righteousness by sweeping up the floors. There's no righteousness. You don't get righteousness by not speeding. You don't get righteousness by not stealing. There's no righteousness by that. You don't get righteousness by not being a murderer. Hey, I never killed anybody. I'm righteous. Nope. You don't get righteousness by that. You get righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. And why is that righteousness imputed to us? Why do we get that? Why do we get to be heir of Abraham, as the Bible said? Why do we get that? Because of the faith through Jesus Christ. We were given that faith, that same spirit of faith. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That's what the Psalms say. Christ at his darkest time, at his lowest moment, brought down so low. The Psalms say that he looked up. It says that he believed, therefore have I spoken. No other man could have done that. No other man could have done that. That's completely impossible. It's a foolish thought to even think that you could bring your faith to Jesus Christ. So the Bible says, search it out. Figure out your own, whether you be in the faith. That's what it says. It commands us to. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Was Paul talking to lost people in that? He's talking to a church. He said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Look into that. Do I have the faith through Jesus Christ? Do I have that? That's something to consider. That's something to look into. Sir, I'm done. Thank you.